Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the easy bake oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time, and we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's a Tuesday, September 17, 2024. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on @G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on @C_Dunning929. Connor, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Did you enjoy Monday Night Football last night?
I did enjoy Monday Night Football.
That's a heck of a game. It did not go how I expected to.
No, it did not.
Did not, but it is kind of, it's the week of the underdog. I don't know if you saw this now. And this is the first 2 weeks of the season. NFL underdogs of 5.5 points or more are now 9-1 against the spread with 5 outright wins. The only loss was the Rams lost to the Lions in OT in week one. That line was at 5.5, and they won by 6, the Lions did. Underdogs are coming through early in the season. It's absolutely nuts, but we'll talk about that game in just a moment. We have 3 hours of talk ahead. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly are bringing it to you. As far as guests are concerned, we're going to have Mike Keith, bottom of this hour, every single Tuesday. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Titans. Need to talk about the Titans. Another 24-17 loss where Will Levis seemed to throw the game away. How does Brian Callahan respond to that? We'll talk about the rest of the NFL. And then with Mike, because he's been around this so long, I really want to open a conversation about Tua Tagovailoa. I want to have a real deal conversation. If you haven't seen the news, he went on IR. He's going to be out for a minimum of 4 weeks. He's going to meet with neurospecialists. It doesn't look like he's planning to retire, but he's going to get the advice and basically everything put on the table in these 4 weeks. But I want to have a good conversation with Mike about that because he's been around a lot of guys that have stepped away from the game when they've needed to because of injuries. With covering the Tennessee Titans, and generally when we talk about like the Titans and their injury issues, we have a lot of injury issues in the NFL earlier in the year. But the Titans, how many players have they had to play in the last 2 years? It's like 170 plus. It's ridiculous.
What is happening in the state of Tennessee with these injuries?
I don't know.
Good God.
He knows it all too well. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join the show. He is the Jeff Calkins Show, early from 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And he is also a columnist at the Daily Memphian. And then 6 o'clock, as is normal, on a Tuesday, Christian Fowler from Bluff City Media and our podcast, On the Bluff. You can go every single Tuesday at noon, Spotify, Apple, full-length video version on YouTube. Then we'll have the Blitz at 6:30, and of course a trip around the NFL at 5:30. Now, got to start with the NFL. 22-21 Falcons. Falcons had, with 1:56 left in the fourth quarter, according to Next Gen Stats, which has been around since 2016, a 0.7% chance of winning that game. But they did it because Kirk Cousins came up in the clutch. That's the type of Kirk we've been expecting to see. I know we only had 1 week and he looked kind of rough. People were questioning what he was looking like with his Achilles. He wasn't pressing off his right Achilles, his right foot, as much as you wanted him to. But they went straight down the field on that quote-unquote remade Eagles secondary. It ends with a Drake London TD. On an easy out route against Darius Slay. I don't know why Darius Slay wasn't able to stick in there and hold Drake London. It looked like he had bad eyes there. He was looking into the backfield a little bit too much. I will say that the personal foul that set back the PAT was really bad on Drake London. He sort of did the gun thing into the sky on the sideline, and they threw a personal foul, stupid personal foul that they threw there. But they end up making the field goal or making the extra point, and they end up winning that game. And I see a lot of people going after Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Eagles. And I just don't get it. I have a group chat with a lot of people that follow the NFL and college football, and we sort of experience all these games together. And somebody said, Nick Sirianni's an idiot, after that game went final. And I just started to dig in. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what could you blame on him? I'll get to the reason I think they lost that game in a second, but what could you have blamed on Nick Sirianni? And he basically said, no, there's nothing in particular. Just F him, you know? And I'm like, well, okay. I kind of understand that. They have that rift between him and Jalen Hurts. He's very loud. When C.J. Gardner-Johnson got that stop on that fourth down, that fourth and short, he's chasing after C.J. Gardner-Johnson like he is, you know, a player on the team. He's a little bit loudmouthed. I understand why people have their issues with him. But let's rewind to the real reason that game ended up spiraling out of control. Saquon Barkley dropped a ball on a third down that would have put the game away. And part of me hates that for the Eagles, but part of me understands that's why I love football. Like, things that you just shake off in the moment, things that you don't think are going to come back to haunt you, they come back to haunt you. That led to a field goal, only going up by 6, a Falcons touchdown drive, then an interception by Jalen Hurts to lose the game. The only thing that I could put on Nick Sirianni, the second drive of the game, but I'm not going to do all that. I mean, second drive of the game, he needed to take a field goal, and he went for it on 4th and 4, and they didn't get it. That's the only thing. And it would have mattered at the end of the game, but I'm not going to do all that. Saquon Barkley, you catch the ball, it's an easy win for the Eagles. He may get into the end zone right there. It was seeing Peyton and Eli and their reaction on the Manning cast was hilarious. Television. And can I say this? I know that some people are, I think, I'm not going to say people are out on the Manning cast.
I'm in.
But, like, I think most people, like, the newness of it has weared off, so they just watch the regular broadcast for the most part. But hearing them with Matt Ryan on that final drive of the game.
So good.
That was beautiful. That's what I love. Just unadulterated football talk. They're talking about how easy it is and how sometimes, like, when you're in a new situation, it's easier to run a two-minute situation. You're more comfortable because you know what the wide receivers are going to do. You stay in the same personnel. You stay in the same formation. And you just hit your receivers in stride like you've been doing all camp.
They were calling the plays. They knew what plays were about to be run.
It was beautiful. And having Matt Ryan there with his former team, I thought that was really nice as well.
The Matt Ryan piece was funny because Peyton and Eli were trying to break down the two-minute drill, and Matt Ryan was just, like, kind of throwing out jokes. He kind of, like, used it as, like, this is my 2 minutes to shine. And I saw somebody say Matt Ryan was the glue guy in that situation. I thought that was very funny. But, no, I very much enjoyed the Manning cast, and last night was the best version of it because
the situations in the game were
perfect. When Saquon dropped that ball, it was like somebody shot Peyton Manning in the stomach. Like, his reaction was so funny and over the top, but also the most Peyton Manning reaction you could possibly have to a running back dropping a perfect pass to win a game.
If you watch Tom Brady this week on the Saints
and
Cowboys,
Brady was really good.
He was really good, but you know, want to know why Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are good in those situations? They hate bad football.
Hate it.
They hate it.
And I love that
everybody,
they hate it.
Everybody enjoys them calling out the bad habits that have been created in this new age of the NFL. We allow too many of these things to fly, and they can't stand it. And we want to hear that. We want to hear their take on it.
It's one of those things where when you see someone talking about things that they're really passionate about, it's endearing immediately. And that's kind of Peyton Manning. He's a bit hyper on Manning Cast when he's breaking down plays and he goes to the whiteboard. He's like, and he kind of yells a bit, but he's so passionate about it and so informed about it that it's gripping.
Yes. Now, Jason Kelce, mixed reviews on him. I still think he's one of the best hires they've made in a decade. I love that.
We did this with Brady last week. People that are like, oh, he sucked. It's been one game.
Also, he was the third guy with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. You know how hard that is? It's hard to call a game with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
He was
right
also
there.
Recovering also from tearing another guy's ACL. Did you see that? The chest bump ACL tear pregame?
Yeah, and he
Philly
to be honest,
nuts.
I thought he did fine. I thought he did fine even when he was in the booth. And when he's on Monday Night Countdown, he's really good on
that.
He was
good.
He's really good on that panel. He probably needs to bring a little bit more energy if they ever put him in the booth, but I definitely...
It's a new team.
I'm there for it. But he was breaking down Cam Jurgens, the new center for the Eagles film. A plus. A plus for me. I love that type of stuff.
You've got to give... New crews need a couple of games to get their chemistry down. They've got to figure out when people are going to talk, when they aren't, with the rhythm of it. And that's where, like Brady this week, you felt him pick up the rhythm a little bit more.
Yes.
There weren't many lulls in conversation. He was filling the space.
Well, and he decided to lean into his shtick, which is what you need to do as a broadcaster.
You're smarter than everybody.
Lean into the shtick. Lean into you despising some of the new ways we play football. We enjoy that.
Yeah.
You don't have to be overwhelmingly negative every game, but the way the Cowboys were playing, I completely understand why you were negative. My overarching thoughts on that game. One, Kirk Cousins has something that is valuable to the Falcons, and that's experience. That's what that last drive was. He was ready to go, didn't care, made it happen. I know people talk about him in the clutch and in you know, primetime games, but he's 4-0 in his last four primetime games, in his primetime slot. So Kirk Cousins is picking it up. That's massive for that offense. And then the other thought, the Eagles, their big problem last year was their secondary. And they made some moves. I understand they got Cooper DeJean in the draft, bringing Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, one of the best corners in the NFL draft. You have C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Darius Slay is still there. But that secondary is still pretty regular. They're still pretty regular. Darius Slay's best days are behind him. And it's kind of funny with him. It took a while for us to understand how elite he was, and now everybody expects him to be elite, and he's older now. And, like, you see him get beat on that Drake London out, and you're like, why do we praise this guy?
He got cooked.
You ask, why do we praise this guy? Because when he was with the Lions, with Matt Patricia, all those years of just being out of the public eye, not on the national scene, he was phenomenal. He was a lockdown corner. But we finally came around to him being a great corner a little bit too late, and I think his best days are behind him. And then Quinyon Mitchell on the other side, the other corner that they got out of the NFL draft, he's a rookie. He's not quite what you expect him to be. C.J. Gardner-Johnson's really good, but at the same time, that's the one guy that I thought had the redeeming quality last night. But they tried to remake that secondary. It's still got holes in it. It's still, I don't know if it's coaching or if it's just those players don't quite have what we thought they had, but they're still going to have issues with that back end.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, they certainly still have some issues. I will say, though, I do think that last night's game is one of the rare circumstances where you can say one play lost you the game. And it was just, if he caught that football, we're not having any of these talks today.
That's quite true.
It is one of the very rare moments where you're like, no, a superstar player dropped a wide open pass,
but here's
and that
my
is
problem,
why we're
Connor,
having this conversation.
Here's my problem. Sure, yes, he dropped a wide open pass. Also, don't let the Falcons go 75
that
yards
too.
In a minute
that
30.
Too.
They needed a touchdown. It was awful.
It seemed to
the
me
the Eagles' defense should be ashamed of themselves.
It almost seemed to me that the defense had. It's like they throttled down because they thought that the game was over. So when they got thrown back out there, they were almost like shell-shocked a bit. They weren't together. They weren't moving together. And Kirk Cousins just picked them apart. Because like the Mannings pointed out on the Manning Cast, and like you just said, 2-minute drill for new quarterbacks is the easiest thing that you can do. Because it's the plays that everybody knows. The receivers are going to be in the right spots. The line knows what's going on. Everybody agrees on it. There is no missteps in a 2-minute drill, usually. And they just picked him apart. It was crazy. I don't understand how it happened that fast.
Yeah. It was quick.
Imagine being
like, you can say that they lost with that one play with Saquon, and that's what led to the momentum shifting and the Falcons being able to go win that game. But the Eagles secondary deserves all the criticism in the world for that last drive.
What if it started with that play and then it's led to a series of just horrific plays for them?
Yes.
It opened Pandora's box.
It shows how momentum works in football. That's what it did.
The ESPN chart's nuts.
Yes.
When you go and look at it.
Like I said, 0.7% chance with 156 left in the game to go win that game. Nuts. Absolutely nuts. Now, I don't know if we would term this as nuts, but it is getting kind of wild. The way that the Pac-12 and Memphis talks have sped up in the past week. We knew that there were four teams being added to the new Pac-12, and that was on top of Oregon State and Washington State, Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, and Colorado State. They have to get two more by July of 2026 to become a conference. And John Canzano, who has covered the Pac-12 4 years with the Canzano Hotline, he's got Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano, his Substack, I believe. And he has reported, instead of it being Bruce Feldman saying they may look at Memphis and Tulane, that's where they're going to look, he has reported that they absolutely are going to look at Memphis and Tulane. This is what he had to wrote, the first couple of paragraphs of his article that he put on Substack. The University of Memphis and Tulane University have emerged as the top targets of the Pac-12 as the conference prepares to take a second bite of the expansion apple. These two American Athletic Conference schools are expected to be among the topics discussed at the midweek meeting between leaders of the Pac-12's growing membership. And that was according to sources that talked to him. So this has gone from, okay, will they get an invite, to they're going to probably get an invite. You don't get the board together, all of the leaders in the Pac-12 together for a midweek meeting to discuss Tulane and Memphis if you're not going to try to get them as members in your conference. This has sped up really quickly, and we could go down this path very, very soon where Memphis is applying to get into the Pac-12 and ultimately being approved. And how soon will that happen? That's going to be the question.
In your opinion, if Memphis gets an invite, do you think they will accept it?
Oh, gosh. Yes. If Tulane's coming with you, I think they will. Because it's a better option right now than the AAC. The AAC's big answer, the Americans' big answer to all of these issues that they're seeing, and by the way, Tim Pernetti being in town for a long scheduled visit the week of the Pac-12, you know, coming after Memphis. Okay. We can call it a long scheduled
tell
visit.
Tell your story?
Yeah, that's a tell your
was
story.
Was that the tell your story today for Jeffrey?
Maybe. It possibly was. He was at the Silverfield show last night. He was one of the speakers, I believe, on the show.
I wonder why.
It's kind of funny. And he put out a statement on the same day. But yeah, if Tulane's coming along with you, if you feel confident about being the quote-unquote group of five super conference, and you feel like the TV revenue is going to exceed what you're getting right now in the American, then you make that jump. I don't see why you would have the holdup. The only holdup that you would have is waiting for the ACC to completely crumble and you be the backfill. But at that point, you know, I think you'll still have that option if you join the Pac-12. It'll just be a lot harder to get out of the grant of rights that you may enter into. And maybe on the front end they can have some contractual conversations, even though I don't know if the Pac-12 is going to have their ear open to it necessarily. You can have some contractual conversations about, hey, if this happens, it's kind of hard for you to hold us back from making that jump. But if the ACC loses their two biggest brands in Florida State and Clemson, then what are we looking at in the ACC versus what a new Pac-12 would look like? I think it would be, you'd start to bridge that gap and have real conversations about what conference long-term is going to be better.
So the leftovers, let's say that happened. You'd have Boston College, Cal, Duke, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, NC State, North Carolina, but we know that they went out too.
It would be better than the Pac-12, no doubt.
Better.
But you're a Miami and probably a Louisville leaving from being about on the same platform, right? In football, at least.
I think that the ACC still has a better, but it's not far. I would still probably put the new Pac-12 below the ACC, but I understand your point. Here's the deal.
If you were somehow able to go get Stanford and Cal,
the American, but it's so much better.
Yes, but if you were somehow to, and I know this is going to be hard, if you were somehow to be able to bring back Stanford and Cal, that could be that could change
it.
A lot of
that absolutely.
And that's been on the table, even though it seems like a pipe dream. Right?
What is your thought process with South Florida?
I think bring them along. That makes sense. Tampa market, growing football program right now under Alex Golish. They've had success in the past. They've been in the Big East before and had a lot of success. They were number one in the country in the early 2000s. I don't know if you remember that.
Scoreboard.
They were up there. But then they sort of fell apart as the season went along. But I think South Florida would be a school that they should look at. But that's so far east for them. You know what I mean? That like Memphis, I think at this moment, is as far east as they're looking. South Florida, that's a long, long way. I know the geographic footprint of all these conferences has been broken down, but that is really, really far east. But I think that that's a good enough conference to, or a good enough team to be part of this new conference. Well, that's the best of the rest. That's one of the best teams in the group of five.
I do think that Memphis and Tulane would want South Florida for travel reasons. I do think that's a big point. I've been a bit skeptical on travel fees being like the main reason to not go.
You're going to have to, let's be honest.
They're very real.
The TV revenue is going to have to be good enough to offset the move out of the AAC.
It's just not a big enough con for me to not go.
Okay. I agree with you, but I still think there's going to be monetary concerns from the University of Memphis' standpoint about making that move.
Point being, though, I do think that Memphis would be like, hey, bring South Florida because it will help offset some of that.
And keep them on our schedule every year. Right. We could have some type of scheduling alliance with them.
Do an east and do a west.
Yes. There's ways to get around these things.
Right.
But we're going to have to see how that all plays out. Now, I think my biggest question, because I think the TV revenue from a, you know, brand standpoint, if Memphis and Tulane join, on top of the six schools that are already in there, I think it would be more than what you're getting in the AAC. Certainly more than what you would get if you waited it out with the AAC and tried to re-up.
Which is the scary thing.
Which is the scariest possible outcome of this entire
thing. It's very dark.
But my question, with seemingly all of these networks kind of overextended right now, who hops in and takes the new Pac-12? That's the question. Because they tried to do the streaming thing, and that left everybody out. You know, it was Apple TV and Peacock or whatever it was. And, you know, all of these Pac-12 schools left. Like, I guess, you know, there's the thought of, well, CBS Sports deal gets done in 2026 with the Mountain West. That's a way in. ESPN, I guess, could come along, but that would be a way down the list on what they're actually showing. And I don't know how much money that would bring in. Like, my question, TNT is trying to get involved with a little bit of college football. CW is. So, like,
you haven't named the one.
I just wonder, what are the options? You think it's Amazon?
Amazon, we all know.
That would be smart. Pretty good.
They wouldn't have to pay too much for it.
And they're not, with college football, they don't have a lot of inventory.
It would be one of those low risk. Hey, let's go ahead and get the new Pac-12 on Amazon, exclusively there. People will come here to watch the games. I think that the teams would get a pretty good payout from it. And that's just my theory right now. When you asked me, I was like, Amazon's the one that popped in my head. Because they don't have it yet, and we know that they want to get into sports.
Here's my question, though. Do you want strictly streaming? That's kind of, we thought that it would head this direction, but we're not quite there yet.
Right. I don't know. Unless there is a... I do wonder if maybe Amazon could come up with like a deal with some cable network where it's, hey, you carry them here, but it's also on Amazon. I don't know. That is a question to have to solve.
But that's the biggest answer I want is who, because you ultimately want a bidding war. You want Amazon to step to the table and ESPN to step to the table and NBC and CBS, so you have a bidding war and you drive up the price. That's what you want. But all of the, like, ESPN's fine with what they have. NBC seemingly fine with what they have. They have the Big Ten. CBS would make sense once they get done with the Mountain West contract in 2026. But that's the only one that really makes a whole bunch of sense right this second. TNT, Turner Sports could make sense. But what's this bidding war actually going to look like, and what's that price going to be? Because you want that price to be high enough to offset the travel costs you're going to have to deal with in this new conference.
Do inside the Pac-12. It's just the same crew, but they're talking football now.
Okay. All right.
I want Charles Barkley's takes on Washington State.
Why not? As long as he's not talking trash on Memphis, I want to hear what Charles Barkley has to say.
We know he gambles on it.
Yeah, but it's just that's the big question is if you're moving for more TV revenue, what is the TV network or streaming deal that you're going to strike?
Right.
So we'll
your
we'll
point
watch
about
it.
ESPN is very true because they have. You know, they are pretty overextended, and we know the money might be there in 2031 because I doubt that they're going to re-up the American deal as it sits right now, but you would have to wait until 2031, and that's clearly not the plan for the Pac-12.
Yeah. Now, final quick thing I want to get to. Before we get to Mike Keith and talk some NFL, we have a lot of injuries that we're going to have to discuss. Want to talk about Tua, certainly want to talk about the Will Levis sort of blowing the game for the Titans for a second straight week. And, of course, it was 24-17. And the Titans have the number one ranked defense from an opponent yards per game standpoint. There's things to like about the Titans, but that offense still looks a little stagnant. There was some news because Hunter Yurecek was the speaker at the Memphis Touchdown Club last night. And he was speaking on the 2-for-1 deal that was struck in 2019 with the University of Memphis on the football field. But he was more speaking to the September 20th, 2025 game where Arkansas is scheduled to come into Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium next year. And this is what he had to say. I'd be open to looking at both of our schedules and potentially doing a swap of the dates for the game.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If it worked better for them to have that game that was played in Memphis in future years when the stadium is done, I'd be willing to look at moving that game to Fayetteville next year. Now, there's a lot of Memphis fans, Connor, out on this idea because they've been screwed over by the SEC and power conferences for years. And you look back to last year and what Mizzou pulled, saying we're going to play this in St. Louis or we're not going to play it at all. We'll pay the buyout fee. What strikes me about this is I think this is very gracious of Hunter Yurecek as long as there's no funny business about the return trip to Memphis. Allowing Memphis to potentially reschedule to pack the bowl instead of fill the hole makes a whole lot more sense to me. And I'm glad that this is on the table right now, because it's something to think about for the University of Memphis. When you have Arkansas in town, you want to make money. You want to get out on the positive end with ticket sales. And as long as the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium is in the state it's in right now, you're not going to do that. You're going to lose money on ticket sales. And when you have a place like Arkansas that's willing to come into town, you want to get as many butts in the seats as you possibly can, whether it's, you know, Memphis fans or Arkansas fans.
I'm in total agreement. There's this weird pessimism around Memphis with the Pac-12 stuff, with this Arkansas stuff. Y'all, stop expecting it to go wrong. Sometimes it might go well.
Sometimes.
It might work out.
Now, I get...
I'm not telling you
also,
it will. But this whole pessimism act is driving me insane.
It drives me insane, but can we be honest? Let's be completely honest. A lot of these things usually blow up in the University of Memphis' face when it comes to realignment, when it comes to getting good, you know, programs to come into Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Mizzou screwed them last year. That's still fresh on their mind. I get why there's pessimism. But with this particular situation, you have a 2-for-1. It's agreed upon. It feels like Hunter Yurecek's being genuine when he says, I'm trying to do a favor here.
Yes, exactly. It is just because it is the SEC and it is similar does not mean it is the same situation.
No.
And it appears that you have gotten some more assurances this time than you did last time. So I just don't expect that to happen again.
And obviously there's contractual, you know, obligations for Arkansas if they do decide not to do it. They would have to pay you $3 million if they canceled a game at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. I don't think they want to do that. So I think there's some contractual ties with the contract that was drafted in 2019. And if they do switch the game and make it in Fayetteville next year, they can get into that contract a little bit more and protect themselves a little bit more so they can get that return trip. I just think there's this pessimism that doesn't necessarily need to be there about this particular situation. The one thing that did strike me, though, he said he figured out about the renovations to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium yesterday. Hunter Yurecek, the AD in Arkansas.
There's no way that's true. There's no way.
Okay, I'm going to operate off his face value and assume that he's being truthful about that, because that's a weird thing to lie about, right? That's a weird thing to lie about, Connor. Let's be honest.
It is, but there's no way that's true. It's the biggest story
in
the city.
But in my opinion, it's one of the biggest stories
in the city, and he's across the bridge.
But in my opinion, once these renovations got announced, if that's the case, if we're trusting what Hunter Yurecek said on face value there, the old administration dropped the ball on this.
Absolutely.
They would have had – you have to have that conversation. This conversation should have been had as soon as you announced the renovations. Hey – you know, 2025 may not be the best year to be hosting you because we're not going to get a full stadium. We're going to have half of it gone.
I will buy that maybe he didn't know the extent of the renovations, but the idea he didn't know they were happening at all makes no sense to me.
Yeah. But in the end of the day, if this is possible and you don't think there will be funny business, I think Ed Scott and this athletic department needs to go down this road. I'd rather have 50,000 in the new Liberty Bowl than 32,000 all packed in what we have right this second. That just it makes a lot of sense what Hunter Yurecek was putting out there yesterday. And I think people need to drop a little bit of the pessimism they had right now, because there's key points to this deal. I mentioned already, breaching of the contract and not returning to Memphis is a $3 million for each canceled game. Arkansas pays Memphis $1 million for game 3. So there's monetary value for Memphis, even if this thing doesn't go through.
Right, it's already tied in.
Yes, but 2025, 2026, 2028 are the games, and we may switch it around a little.
A lot going on.
Yeah. But in the end of the day, I know people are, you know, spurned by what's happened in the past, by being left out of realignment and having a lot of teams cancel games here in Memphis. I think people were talking about Arkansas canceling a return trip in Memphis in the 90s. People are still holding that grudge against them. So I get where people are coming from, but I
that's
for me,
I kind of respect that, to be honest.
For me, that level of petty, I like that. For me, I feel like Hunter Yurecek was being very genuine with his comments last night at the Memphis Touchdown Club about the way this series could play out. And it just makes sense. There's some things that don't make sense. This makes sense. Also, what makes sense is talking some NFL with Mike Keith, the radio voice of the Tennessee Titans. He's going to join next, and we'll talk everything under the sun right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He is the radio play-by-play voice for the Tennessee Titans, and he is on X at 10 Voice. Mike, how's it going this week?
Hi, Gabe. Well, we're a little better now.
Yeah.
But We're getting over the sting of another disappointing defeat.
And it was all too familiar, wasn't it? 24-17, defense stood up. That's the number one defense right now, the Tennessee Titans are, in the NFL from an opponent's yards per game standpoint. But Will Levis with another inexplicable interception or turnover that led to six for the other team, that led to six for the Jets this week. I want to start here, though, because you have a great relationship and rapport, and you have conversations with him all the time. Brian Callahan, I'm impressed with the guy. I am. He has told Will Levis how it is. I know we have the viral clip of what the F are you doing on the sideline, but then even after the game, he was dead honest about what he saw from Will Levis. He made the same mistake twice, and he's not happy about it.
When we ask him on the official Titans podcast, speaking to Brian, that's up right now, as a matter of fact, about being demanding and about being direct. And, you know, he came back and he said, hey, I kind of don't need to do that on the sidelines. You know, you got emotion, and I get emotion and all of these things, but I probably don't need to do that. And I appreciate what he said. He said, I need to let my guys see who I am, and, you know, this is how I felt, and I'm a human being. But at the same time, I'm the head coach now. I've got to kind of make sure that I don't just react emotionally, because sometimes that can set a bad trend. And I thought that's a really good answer. And, you know, it's funny, on Good Morning Football, Ron Rivera said the same thing. You know, Ron Rivera, the former Panthers and Commanders coach, made the comment that I thought was dead on, which was, hey, I think it's good for the team to see that everybody's going to be held accountable, but you have to be a little careful. Brian did go on to say, when we talked with him, because he, you know, he said on the interception, he thought Burke should have come down with the ball.
Right.
Receiver got two hands on the ball. He got to catch it. There was a pass to Calvin Ridley, who played a great game, a deep ball that went through his hands. He said, we got to make that catch. And I asked him, I said, you know, do you feel like being demanding and being that specific in how demanding you are will create a culture where you won't make certain plays, like the one that obviously Will Levis made, and that you will have the expectation and the players will go out and they'll expect to make those catches now, and that it will produce results? He said, yes. He said, I've been around it. I've seen it. When you expect this out of people, they're going to eventually find a way to do it, because they don't think it's anything exceptional. They think it's what's expected. And to me, I think that's where Brian is going to end up being successful. I really believe he's going to end up being really good at this, because I think he's very clear with his players in a way that makes sense to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about it off air and then on air last week. The redeeming qualities of this team definitely keep you invested, keep you around, because this defense is for real. I mean, I know that it could age a little bit differently, and we'll see. It's a 17-game season, and there's injuries, and people start getting the book on you when they watch more film. But this defense really has it this year. After a couple of years where the secondary wasn't all that great, maybe they weren't getting enough pressure, they seem to have all of the makings of one of the better defenses in this NFL.
Yeah, they do. And they don't have a takeaway yet, which is, you know, the big thing they're all talking about. But you know, they've given up barely 400 yards in two games. And,
right.
You know, they've been good on third downs. And, you know, they've done a lot of things well. They keep pushing themselves to be better. They're saying, hey, we only have four sacks. We got to do this. We got to do that. I like that about them, too, is there's not finger pointing on the defense saying, oh, offense, you've got to come through for us. Instead, they're saying, we've got to do more. And frankly, I think it's a good way to be. I think it's what you hope they will do.
Yeah. Now, we talked about quarterback play and some of the reasons that it hasn't been great through the early season. And one of the things that we came up with last week is maybe in the preseason they're not playing enough snaps, and there's only three preseason games. They get held out a fair amount, that type of thing. But now we're seeing injuries. I almost chalk up at least one of the reasons to sort of the same idea. You know, these guys aren't getting enough hits in practice in the early season, and they limit your full contact days, that type of thing. But the injuries are absolutely nuts. We'll talk about Tua Tagovailoa in a second, because I do want to get your take on him going forward in the National Football League with the Miami Dolphins, but you have the 49ers with basically every skill position player out for an extended period of time, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, and of course Christian McCaffrey. The Rams have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp on IR. It's been a rough, rough early season, and even in that game that you were able to call this weekend, Jermaine Johnson, one of the better young edge rushers in the league, tears his Achilles. I hate it for him, but it feels like it's a trend we're starting to see early in the season.
Well, and you're talking to a guy who has been the announcer for the last 2 years for a team that's used 177 players. I'm knocking on wood right now, Gabe, because it's not us so much as it has been. But, yeah, you've seen it. I mean, C.J. Mosley goes out of that game the other day with a toe injury, and, you know, it's happened. The 49ers are certainly battling it right now in a way that you can't afford to, because while you know the injuries are going to come at some point, your hope is that you don't get hit multiple times in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, okay, if it's a safety, don't let it be three safeties. If it's a defensive tackle, don't let it be two or three defensive tackles, or don't let it be your guys who fill the biggest roles. Because if you have five defensive linemen on the roster, you rank them 1, 2, and 3. You don't want 1, 2, and 3 to be out, and 4 and 5 are now your starters. And that's what's happened to us. I mean, there were times the last 2 years where we signed guys on Tuesday off the street, and they either played significantly for us the following Sunday, or in a couple cases, they started, Gabe.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so you only have so much salary cap room. You only have so many guys that you can put on IR and can return. That number is 8. And, you know, there are only so many players that are out there. It's like when 2 years ago, the first play of the second game of the season, Taylor Lewan goes out, does not return. He's a $14 million player. Gabe, there are no $14 million players on the street to replace him. There's a $1.4 million player who's available because nobody wanted to pay him $1.4 million. That's what you deal with.
Yes, and Tua Tagovailoa is the conversation I want to have now. And I know everybody's giving their take about what they think he should do with the rest of his career. And I've been very clear about this. Yeah, you need to think about your family. But when it comes down to the decision he's going to make going forward, which it looks like he's not planning on retiring anytime soon. He did go on the IR today, though. So he will miss a minimum of 4 games after that. It's just so tough to watch him go down with those concussions because they all seem so dramatic. But he did that on Thursday Night Football against the Bills. What do you? My take is, you know, talk to your medical team, talk to your family, and then you make your decision. It's his decision to make. Don't listen to all the outside noise. I know Antonio Pierce has given his take, the head coach of the Raiders, and everybody sort of has an opinion on it. What's your opinion on what we have seen with Tua Tagovailoa and all of the head injuries and how dramatic and bad they seem every single time? Like that hit Damar Hamlin sort of put on him did not seem that bad. Didn't seem like it should have led to something like that.
No, he leaned into Damar Hamlin. I mean, Hamlin, to describe it best, I'd say he almost caught him. He had ducked his head and rammed into Hamlin, and Hamlin took him to the ground. I mean, it was a little awkward. It was hardly violent.
Right.
It was not, you know, something out of NFL films from the 1970s where the Raiders secondary was, you know, targeting a guy's neck or something.
Right.
It was just a play. And to see how his body reacted on the field, I think scares a lot of people who do know something about it. And even to people who don't know as much about it, you see that and you're like, oh, that's significant. Just because, again, the hand curling and it's scary. And the irony that it was Hamlin who was in on the collision, just, you know, it's crazy. But I think what the Dolphins have done is what every team should do for the player in that instance, and that's take the pressure off. Mm-hmm. And now the pressure is off for him to be in any hurry. He's not rushing to get back this week. He's not rushing to get back for Monday Night Football against us in 13 days. What he's doing at this point in time is he gets a chance to meet with neurologists, see how he bounces back, and have some real conversation with the pressure of football being taken off. I know if he was my son, the discussion we'd have, but right. He's not my son.
Sure.
You know, he's not. I went through a concussion with my son when he played that was a bit scary. And I know what I thought as dad. My son was a center, so he had contact on every play. And I had a very specific opinion for what I know, but that's, I think you said it best, it's individual.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's a weird thing about concussions. How many guys did you know when you played, Gabe, who would be fine after the game? You'd go out to dinner with them, you go to a party, whatever, and then on Tuesday, something's wrong.
Yeah, they start getting into the practice, yeah, and they get a headache, and they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, and you're like, well, there was nothing wrong with you right after the game. Or some guys get popped, and they have an immediate reaction, and then the next day they're better. It's a strange phenomena. You can't deal with one as just this is the way it is. Everybody responds differently, but... And I was always proud of our coaches, since this has been a big focus in the NFL. We have always had head coaches who just say, listen, if you've had a legitimate concussion, not just concussion symptoms, if you've had a concussion, you're not playing next week. So mm-hmm. just don't even come around. Don't try it. And as a dad, I appreciated that. But as somebody who worked for the team, I appreciated it just as much.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you said that rings true, and it hasn't always rung true in the past. You talked about how the Dolphins are taking the pressure of football away from Tua Tagovailoa. I think as a society, with how hyper-aware we are, with all the CTE studies and all of the brain injury studies that the NFL has put out there, it feels like if he decided to step away from the game, the amount of, people coming after him for that and saying, well, you just got this big contract, now you're going to quit on your team. It feels like that is alleviated. In the past, we've had Andrew Luck step away from the game, and he got absolutely killed for it. I disagreed with it. It was the media, people like that. Calvin Johnson stepped away from the Lions. He got killed for it. Patrick Willis retiring early. He got killed for it. It feels like at this point in time, we're right where we need to be, where we actually look out for the player because we know how serious it can be on the back end. By the time you're 40 or 45, you want to have your wits about you. You want to raise your children. You want to have your family have all of you, and you risk that if you continue to run out there on the field.
That's right. My thing is I'm not going to give medical advice. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do.
Sure.
My thing is get all of the information. That's all. And then, if you make the decision you want to go back out there, you're a grown person. You can do that. That's your choice. If you don't, that's your choice too. And that doesn't make you a chicken or a wimp or you don't care about the game. It doesn't do that at all. Either way, if you have the information and you feel like you're making the best decision for you, that's exactly what you should do. And it's that way for high school players, for college players, and for pro players, even where the money comes in, because there is life on the other side of football. Mm-hmm. And the guys that I'm friends with who played for us, I was not necessarily friends with when they played, not for any other reason, but that I was older and had kids and I was in a different place in my life. I was never trying to be anybody's buddy, but the point was, it was different. Well, now they're older and they have kids and we have things in common. And they talk to me about things, and they all say the same thing. Man, I wish I'd known this when I played.
Correct. No question.
The same way we all wish we had known things that we know now when we were in high school and college, whether we played or not. But it's the same for, you know, for the 45-year-old players, too. They're like, well, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, well, you didn't ask, and you wouldn't have listened had I told you.
Yeah, and the thing is, Mike, like, when I was playing, like, none of us think we when you're in your 20s and you're playing this young man's sport, you're not thinking about what 40, 45, 50 is looking like. You're not thinking about it. It's just sort of a natural phenomena that we have. We know that there's risk involved with playing the game that we play, but at the end of the day, we're not thinking about the long-lasting effects of what it could look like down the road. And I've seen far too many guys that tried to push themselves too hard that still have issues, and they're only in their, you know, early 30s. They have issues with their you know, recall and memory and things like that.
Well, for me, I like it when guys walk away on their own terms.
Yep.
And I always, when I get a chance to spend time with them, I say, I'm so happy for you. Because you're walking away, you've got your health, you've got a young family, you've made some money, you've taken care of it. And you gave a great effort, you know, whether that's 3 years or 4 years. I mean, one of our former players is running for Senate in Texas right now, Colin Allred.
Right.
And Colin was a great guy. I mean, is a great guy, but there was a lot more to him than football. Myron Roll was here. Well, now Myron Roll's a surgeon. You know, we had plenty of guys who football didn't end up being their answer. And then we had guys, Derek Morgan, you know, is our legend of the game this week. When Derek Morgan realized he didn't have it anymore, he quit.
Right.
He and Brian Arakpo both, they both said, you know what, we're walking away. Life's good. We got other stuff. Those are the happiest stories than the guys that hang on too long.
Yep.
Who can't let it go. And those are the ones that you worry about the most, because those are the points where health ends up being a bigger concern.
Yeah, and I think
I think
these types of conversations are important to have, because we level people out. We you know, temper people's expectations for guys that are going through things like this. But I'm glad we have, as a society, opened up this line of communication, and we have made it a lot more normal for guys to do exactly what you're saying. Go out on top so they don't risk their long-term health. But, Mike,
I think you said it best, Gabe, just to wrap up. You know, 30 years ago, if Tua would have been considering not playing anymore, we don't know whether he is or whether he isn't. But if he had been considering it, there would have been people who would have said, well, I don't know if the Dolphins should want him back if he's thinking about not playing.
Right. Bad teammate. And he's quitting on his team.
Oh, he's quitting on his team. When I hosted a talk show in the 1990s, that would have been the norm of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And today it's not, and that's positive.
100%. Totally agree. And, Mike, we'll leave it there, and we'll...
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style.
you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.